Heavenly Father, we come into your presence this day to worship, to hear your word, to be fed and nourished as your people. You have called us into the marvelous light of what Christ has accomplished for us. May we realize how undeserving we really are, and yet what a gift we have been given through his cross, death, and resurrection. In your name we pray. Amen. The epistle reading this morning, which is going to be the basis of our meditation, has a very simple message. Paul wants the readers to know that Jesus was not judged fairly. He was condemned and died that you and I might have a different end. Because Jesus endured the cross, suffered an unjust death for the sinner, every sinner can rejoice and find comfort in the opening words of the epistle reading this morning. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. The great reversal. God, sending his only Son from heaven so that sinful man has the hope of a heavenly destination. This is why there was a cross. It is God's way of doing for us what we could not do. Romans is that great epistle, just chock full of doctrinal gems. Luther wrote, this epistle is really the chief parts of the New Testament and is truly the purest gospel. Then he would say that we could never read it and ponder it too much. But he would also go on to say this, in this epistle, we find most abundantly the things that a Christian ought to know. Namely, what is law, gospel, sin, punishment, grace, faith, righteousness, Christ, God, good works, love, hope, and the cross. And also how we are to conduct ourselves towards everyone else. This is a very concise epistle. From chapters 5 to 8, Romans speaks of the good news of God's righteousness for humanity and the resulting effects. Because of God's righteousness, you and I have peace with God. This was the way of the cross. Each week we've been looking at a different word we put with cross. First, cross purpose, cross questions, cross roads, cross currents. Today I want you to think of the cross and the way of the cross, what Christ has done for us. The early church was oftentimes referred to as the way. Their life reflected what Christ accomplished on the cross. I'd really encourage you to go home and read through the whole chapter 8. A second challenge would then to be reading from chapter 5 to chapter 8. This is about our union with Christ through our baptism and through faith. This is about what Christ won for us by following the road to the cross, placing himself upon that cross and enduring for us what we could not endure, and then providing for us the Holy Spirit to come into our lives and to work through his church, that salvation made possible through that cross. In the first 11 verses of chapter 8, we can rejoice because Paul talks about believers who are in Christ. It's a formula which Christ is the fulfillment of all that God has done for us. And the formula is that we are in Christ. It alludes to the believer and his baptism into Christ. Just as we witnessed a baptism this morning, we are reminded of our own baptism. Here, once again, Paul is reminding us that in the waters of baptism, God begins a work within each of us. At the cross, Jesus becomes our substitutionary atonement for all of sinners. Not only does he vindicate himself, but he also vindicates you and I and the entire world. And he gives us a hope. Thus, we come back to the opening verse. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If we back up a couple of chapters to chapter 6, Paul makes clear that Jesus' substitutionary work on our behalf leads to baptism, which unites us with Christ. And so we hear from chapter 6, beginning at verse 3, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." What good news that is! Wonderful language for each and every one of us. There is no condemnation. Think about that. God is at work in our lives and has been throughout all of eternity. For those who are in Christ, he is the way. His cross was the way for us. We were united with his death and his resurrection. The law of the Spirit has set you free from the law of sin and death. A powerful message. A powerful message for each of us in the world in which we find ourselves. You are not condemned. You have been set free because of what Christ has done for you. And now, through the waters of baptism, God calls you by name. He welcomes you into his family. And yes, his Spirit leads, guides, and directs the believer. This, at this time of year, we call the journey of Lent, those 40 days. And it's almost over, in which we take that journey every year to the cross, a place where we see what we do not deserve comes to reality as God sends his Son to take our place. Yes, through the waters of baptism, we are in Christ. And through the Holy Spirit at work, he offers to us a gift and a blessing. And so, that way is life by the Spirit. And he talks about the life by the Spirit and life by the flesh in chapters 8 there. Without Christ, we remain in darkness. And we, in darkness, are motivated by our fleshly desires. And we live with really no hope. Paul put it this way in our text. "For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Our flesh is weakened by the law. The law cannot save us. The law points out that we are sinners. And yet, that sinful nature needed to be condemned. and the righteous requirements of the law fulfilled. And that's the powerful reversal and exchange that you and I have because of what God has done. Yes, we never deserve it. And yet it is this wonderful gift that God has made possible for each of us. By being one in Christ, our perspective on life, our state of being, our manner of life ought to be changed. Not because of what we have done, but through what Christ has done for us. The cross is God's way. It is what He has done for us. Later in this chapter, Paul reminds us in the last verses, which we often hear many times, because there he talks about nothing that separated us from the love of God. You know, and he lists all those things that could but don't, because God has attached Himself to us. The powerful message of Lent and a powerful message of Easter is that you and I can rejoice, celebrate, and know who we are because of that cross, that death, that resurrection. You and I are privileged to know what God has done for us, for each one of us. And so we walk in the way of the cross, a cross that gives us life, salvation. Rejoice in what God has done for you. Amen. Because we have already said the creed in the baptismal rite, we will move right into prayers. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Jesus Christ and for all people according to their needs. We pray for all Christians around the world that, as people united in faith, we may witness the good news that is ours in Christ Jesus, our Redeemer. We beseech you, O Lord. We pray for all the nations of the earth, that in all places on earth there may be times of peace. We pray for people in lands where there has been upset and strife. And we pray for our own nation that we may know safety and the people may be joyful in their daily lives. We beseech you, O Lord. We pray for all of those who labor, serves us, especially those in the military, our police personnel, medical workers, and all those who offer support to the common good. We beseech you, O Lord. We pray for the special concerns on the hearts of those gathered here today, including health and family needs, bringing to you our joys, our sorrows, and our hope. We lift before you Vonnie McCormick, the mother of Tammy Gimelick, who is facing surgery this week. We ask, Lord, that you be with the surgeons and with the surgical team, and that all may go to helping her at this time in her life. We also lift before you any that are upon the hearts of those here assembled this day who have either health issues or other concerns, and we name them in our hearts now.